أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Last week, we pretty much finished the chapter of Fadlul Jihad in Kitabul Jihad of Al-Kafi. And since we're being selective, I'm moving on to a different chapter, a different section entirely. And that is a section of the book that's called Kitab al-Ziy wal-Tajammul wal-Muru'ah, the book of Zi, which is basically your manners and etiquettes. Tajammul, perhaps Zi would be a little, sometimes it's used in a more general sense that would include your behavior, your demeanor, your etiquettes and mannerisms. And sometimes it's more specific and it involves your clothing. I'm not sure what which one exactly Sheikh Al-Kulaini is intending of it. There's arguments both ways for either of those two meanings, but those are the two meanings. The second word that is there is at-tajammul. Tajammul comes from the root of the word jamal, which means beauty. Tajammul is to have beauty, to show beauty, to beautify, to decorate. And lastly, wal-muru'ah. Muru'ah is a really bad equivalent, manhood, being a man. That in Eastern languages, I've seen this in Arabic, I've seen it in Farsi. Perhaps it exists in Urdu, I'm not 100% sure about that. I think it is, but I'm not sure, I don't speak that language. It's associated with good morals that a person has. It's referred to as muru'ah. Now, what it exactly means in terms of defining the word, or not defining the word, it's good mannerisms and good behavior, good etiquettes, if we generally phrase it as such or define it as such. What would be instances of that? That's an important discussion. I don't want to get into that right now. These are just the three words that Sheikh Al-Kulaini uses to title this section of Al-Kafi known as the book of Kitab al-Ziy wal-Tajammul wal-Muru'ah. Let's see in the hadith if we find that word, if we can rely on that, if there's a definition of that, and so on. The first chapter, generally there's a kitab, like Kitab al-Salah, and then there's various chapters. This Kitab al-Ziy, there's a number of chapters in it. The first chapter is Bab al-Tajammul wa Idhhar al-Ni'mah, the chapter of beautifying oneself or showing beauty. Idhar means to show, again, to reveal. A ni'mah, ni'mah is blessing, obviously. We're going to read hadith. My intention generally in this hadith class is to read the words and then put forth an understanding that I have of these hadith put together. But more importantly, it's the words themselves. And I try to be as accurate as I can be with the wording of the hadith, so everybody hears what the words are, sees where we need to match them up and see what they mean in light of one another, and then present an understanding in that regard. And that part of it, along with, of course, the translation, is all subject to you all looking into that and seeing if that is accurate in your understanding or not. And accepting only if it makes sense to you. So the first hadith is, again, we have the habit of, we think it's good to read the chain of transmission or the isnad or the sanad of the hadith. So we're going to read that. Muhammad ibn Yahya, Sheikh Kulaini's teacher, an Ahmad ibn Muhammad. We've said there a number of times, this could be one of two. An al-Qasim ibn Yahya. I can't remember that name right now particularly. An jaddihi al-Hasan ibn Rashid, from his grandfather, Hasan ibn Rashid. So we come to know it's al-Qasim ibn Yahya ibn al-Hasan ibn Rashid. That's the full name of that person, from his grandfather, al-Hasan ibn Rashid. An Abi Basir. I don't know al-Hasan. I can't recollect. Maybe I've done research. I don't recall looking into that particular person. There's thousands of narrators of hadith. I've checked some, but I can't say I've exhausted all of that. And An Abi Basir, we've had him a number of times. We consider him reliable. The other ones, I highly doubt if there's anything significantly against them that would be reliable for us to reject. But anyway, we'll see what the hadith says. An Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, is from Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi. Qala Amirul Mu'mineen salawatullahu salamuhu alayhi. He quotes Amirul Mu'mineen saying the following: Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Now that phrase right there is something that I think a lot of us have heard. Verily, God is Jamil. He is beautiful. He has Jamal himself. He has beauty. Jamil means someone who has a lot of beauty. Yuhibbul Jamal. And he loves Jamal. He loves beauty. But it doesn't end there. The hadith continues. وَيُحِبُّ أَن يَرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَةَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. And he loves to see the effect of, the signs of, the trace of, these are three equivalents that I can think of the word athar. The sign of, the trace of, the effect of a ni'mah, a blessing, on his ala abd, on his servant, on his slave, that person, on a person. That we are all generally referred to as ibad of Allah. We are na'abd of Allah. Each of us, na'abd of Allah, God likes to see, according to the hadith, he likes to see the trace of the ni'mah that he has given on this abd that he's given it to. What does that exactly mean? Let's look at the hadith itself one more time to see, because you know, ni'mah is general. Ni'mah means blessing. So there's various blessings, some of which it's hard to perhaps relate to the first part of the hadith. It's very broad. The term ni'mah and blessing is very broad. So what is it? What exactly does it mean? And then seeing the effect or the trace of that on the abd, it's very perhaps broad. And what is this trying to suggest? For example, it could be argued that if it's a blessing that he has given, then that abd has received it. If he has received that blessing, then the effect of that blessing being received is already there. So why even say that? So we obviously come to the conclusion that that is not intended. It doesn't mean that when he gives the ni'mah, that he wants that person to receive it. Well, that's obvious because he's given it. If he hadn't given it, he wouldn't receive it. If he has given it, the person has received it. That part of the effect of being given a ni'mah, that's not intended. So what is intended? Let's look at the hadith a little bit. It talks about, it starts with God being Jamil, someone who has beauty. Beauty is something that is seen. If it's hidden, it's not at least noticed. And perhaps it could be argued, yeah, maybe somebody has jamal, but they hide it, they conceal it. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the word he uses in regards to women, because women, God has given women beauty, that's pretty obvious, in ways that he has not given men. Men have been given beauty as well, but the more beautiful one out of the two sexes or the two genders is the female. It's very obvious. And beside it being obvious to us, God says it in the Quran in this way, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. They should not reveal their zina. The term that's used there is not jamal, it's zina. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ. They should not reveal or show their zina إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, except for what is apparent. Which hadith says it's the face and the hands and so on and so forth. I don't want to get into the fiqh discussion of that. But the idea is that over there, when it's referring to essentially something that it draws one's attention, it's desirable, it's something that is liked by people seeing it, whether it is covered, concealed, or revealed, either way, a term that refers to that form of beauty, and then he says concealed parts, and some of it remains revealed, and it doesn't have to be concealed. The term used there is zina. Now, I haven't done extensive research on the term jamal, and to see if the word can be used in cases where there is concealed beauty. And generally, when that part of the hadith is used in Allah Jamil Yuhibbul Jamal, it is they use it. It's generally understood by many speakers, scholars that we have heard, and you all must have heard as well, to suggest that if we are putting on clothes to go out or whatever, that we need to dress appropriately, put on better clothes, look good, comb our hair, take care of our appearance, basically. And that is not in the context of, me personally doing that for myself and hiding it and not showing it. It's in the context of doing that in a way where it's seen. So my understanding generally is that, but I haven't done thorough research. In this hadith, the understanding of Sheikh Al-Kulayni, remember, this is the first hadith in the chapter of At-Tajammul, وَإِظْهَارِ النِّعْمَةِ. Okay, his understanding seems to be that as well. And then one thing that can help with that understanding is this idea, يُحِبُّ أَن يَرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَةِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. If God loves to see the effect, the trace of that ni'mah, the blessing that he's given on the abd, on each of us, if that doesn't mean just seeing that the person has that blessing, that's obviously not intended, because once he's given it, then that's there. It's telling us something that God likes for us to do something. This is encouraging us to do something. God wants to see the blessing he's given on you. He wants to see the trace of it, the effect of it on you. Not that he gives it to you and you hide it. That's the idea. So in the full context of the hadith, what we understand of it, and then of course when we see the following hadith, there's a number of hadith that follow, and each of them has a slightly different wording, and then some of them explain stories from the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. This idea is going to become very clear, that what is intended, as Shaykh Al-Kulayni has put in the title of the chapter, is that God wants and likes the blessing that he's given to be seen. He didn't give you what he gave you. He gave you money, and there's clothing that looks good. He wants to see that on you. He blessed you with that. You go put on good clothing. He blessed you with technology today that the devices for personal care, in terms of grooming, in terms of beautifying, in terms of making oneself up, in terms of all these different new developments that we have these days, these are all blessings that he's given mankind on a general level. And then each of us has access and has been given specifically, each individual has been given a certain amount. Some people have more, some people have less. If God has given someone a blessing, and these are examples in the context of Jamil and Jamal, he wants that to be seen. If he gave you something that you're able to, with it, purchase a nice car. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. He wants to see it. Not that he wants to see that person just having it. He wants to see it being used. The effect of that, the effect of having the means to purchase a nice car is the effect of having that blessing. He wants to see that. He doesn't want you to hide it all. Hide all that money, hide everything that you have, don't show it, don't buy anything, no. He wants to see that on you. In terms of our physical bodies, in terms of clothing, in terms of decorating the home, in terms of shoes, in terms cities, on all these different levels. In a city where believers are in charge of, الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, if that ni'mah has been given to believers to govern themselves, and resources have been given to believers, they are responsible to make that city look beautiful. They are responsible to develop architecture. And if you develop it one step, that's not the end of it. He's given the ni'mah of thinking and trying to develop something that is even nicer and better. Well, he wants to see that sign, the effect of that, the trace of that on you. He wants to see it. He likes to see it. Believers are not supposed to have dirty roads, dirty. No. Some people used to critique the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt where there's so much adornment and ornaments and decorations and gold and this, that, the other. Ni'mah has been given. God wants to see it. That's not a bad thing. Don't confuse that with the idea of charity. We're going to get to hadith. This is one hadith. This is one aspect of Islam that needs to be understood. Okay? This is why one of the reasons why we selected this chapter is that these things need to be heard as well. Islam doesn't only talk about zuhd and not being attached to the dunya. It also says wear good clothing. Dress well. Make yourself look good through removing or cutting your hair in a certain way, or putting makeup on in certain ways, or whatever it is, make yourself look good. That's also part of Islam. Islam doesn't only say, don't be attached to the dunya. That's there. That's there. It needs to be repeatedly mentioned. We need to understand that. But to only focus on that and think that that is Islam, and then conclude from it that Islam likes us not to take care of our cities. Islam wants us not to take care of our homes. Islam wants us not to take care of our clothing. Just buy a t-shirt, wear it for 10 years. Yeah, get stains on it. Who's going to see it? Or if anybody sees it, this is zuhud. Come on. Ripped up. This is how it is concluded. This is what my personal understanding for many years was, because such hadith was not brought to my attention. We used to think, they were talking, that's something I think, I don't know if it got to 10 years or not, but some of the clothing, we were like, oh, we don't need to buy new clothes. Well, that's not what Islam says. This is also part of Islam. If God hasn't given you, okay, He hasn't given you. But what He has given you, use it. He wants to see that effect on you. If somebody has little less, somebody has a little more, whatever God has given that person, God wants to see the athar. If you have the ability to buy a bigger house, God wants to see that athar. He wants to see the trace of that. The homes, the orchards that Ali ibn Abi Talib had, the ones that the Prophet had, were much larger, many more, compared to a lot of the other people that were around. God gave them, and God wanted to see the effect of that. Fatima al-Zahra was given Fadak. Fadak is huge. This is one thing that is an important teaching. Now, it doesn't mean show off this hadith to go against a hadith that talk about taking care of the poor, spending money there. Use these ahadith to go against the conduct of Amir al-Mu'mineen that we're going to read parts of here, where he dressed in a certain way. The attire was not good. We will have in the same chapter, at times, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi dressed in a way where people thought he's poor. Okay. That doesn't mean he doesn't believe in these, or he thinks these teachings are wrong. No, these are from the same imams, from Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's actually, the reverse will be proven from that. There's another reason why at that point in time, Ali ibn Abi Talib dressed that way. Not because he doesn't believe, that was just his quote, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلْ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَةِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. That was a quote that Imam al-Sadiq quoted Ali ibn Abi Talib on. So he believes in this. However, this is not the only teaching in Islam. There are other teachings in Islam. Sometimes, the way this is going to be implemented in a particular context is going to end up in a way where Ali ibn Abi Talib is dressed in clothing that anyone that looks at him thinks that he's poor. But is he going to leave it as such if people think that he's poor? No, there's other things. We're going to get to it. So, I think I don't need to reiterate anything regarding this hadith. I think we already explained it, and the important idea of how we take this, and that we don't take this out of context from all the other teachings, and we also don't take this teaching out of Islamic teachings and understand everything else without this and not know that this is there too. No, this needs to be read and understood. Hadith number 2, Ali ibn Muhammad rafa'ahu. Ali ibn Muhammad is one of the teachers of Sheikh al-Kulayni. In this context, it can't be someone else in the previous sanad. He's not mentioned. He is one of the, we do have a teacher of Sheikh al-Kulayni whose name is Ali ibn Muhammad. But he doesn't mention a chain of translation.